Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And, oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to the middle of the week. It is hump day. It's raining in some of the areas that we're in and not in others, but it's hump day. We're halfway to the weekend. Hit me some camel, man.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woohoo! I never get tired of that. I never.
That commercial was like 10 years old.
I know.
It's still great.
It's still awesome. Welcome to Hump Day. You are halfway to the weekend, and we're going to get you all the way to go home time on a Friday afternoon. But right now, it's Wednesday, and JP is pushing buttons on the board. You're wearing a golf shirt, and it's December, man.
I know. I looked, and I saw it was going to be 70 today, and I was like, oh, don't need a jacket.
I'm sitting here wearing a flannel shirt, and you're wearing a golf shirt. No one knows how to dress right now.
Nope. It's December in Alabama.
It's December in Alabama. Pouring down rain and then not.
Yeah, well, it was raining 30 minutes ago. And now it looks like it's a beautiful day. So that sums it up.
That's okay. We'll take it. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. Coming up at 4 o'clock today, as always on Wednesday afternoon, the Grand Council with my two brethren in talk radio, Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. We'll ping each other with questions and just see where it goes. So that's the Grand Council today at 4 o'clock. And then there's a triple dipper par excellence. So hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. First one, oh, Canada. Oh, Canada? Yeah, I'm going to talk about Canada. I mean, this matters. It does. Oh, Canada, we may have a change coming on in the north of our border, and I'm actually pretty stoked about it. I'm going to talk a lot about why it matters to us. Why do we care? And is Justin Trudeau just a chucklehead progressive that's finally played out his hand? And I think he probably has. But yeah, oh, Canada, that's number one on the triple dipper. Number two, I did not get to it yesterday, and it's just as well because more stuff came out overnight. Droning on. We're gonna wrap up this conversation about drones and just see what's up. Because it's weird, y'all. This thing gets weirder. And now the guy who said that there was a Iranian mothership off the coast is trying to walk back his own comments, which is a little weird in itself. But we'll talk about it. Number two on the triple dipper, droning on. And then number three, I call this one, they just don't get it. Have you ever been around somebody who just could not read the room? Like they couldn't tell that the things they're just pressing for over and over again has just completely been, you know, overused, worn out, and no longer welcome, and yet they can't read the room. Well, I got several examples that run the gamut of liberal progressive ideology, and they are just literally, they can't read the room anymore. They just don't get it. All right, let me jump on into the opening monologue, The Right Side Way, and I will remind you guys that every single day, The Right Side Way monologue, the way we start this show, brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald from the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a moment, but he's the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. So yeah, I'm going to be talking about Canada for a bit today. And you may wonder why, and I'm here to tell you. Because Canada is in many ways like us. They are a nation of the Western Hemisphere. They're a democracy. They're a believer in free trade. They are the only nation I can think of with whom we share sports leagues. In our case, it's professional baseball, hockey, and basketball. Canada by itself actually accounts for over 14% of our international trade, which means roughly $1 trillion in goods shipped back and forth in almost an even amount every single year. But Canada is also just like us in that they have politics. Politics that right now is in the hands of an uber-liberal group of progressives who want to socialize everything and believe that government spending is the only way to resolve the ills of the world. So as a result, Canada is facing economic and political crisis. Our biggest trade partner, one of our longest-running alliances, our neighbor with whom we share one of the longest borders in the world, is showing signs of cracking. Over the last couple of years, they've experienced civil unrest, economic instability, and they have a feckless leader named Justin Trudeau who embarrasses them on the world stage. But just like the U.S., Canadians are pushing back. Canadians have had enough of record inflation, curtailing of civil liberties, and illegal immigration. I mean, the Canadian border does not get the same attention as the Mexican border, but it's still a huge problem. Illegal immigration and drug trafficking into the U.S. from Canada has reached massive new levels. In fact, some reports that I read just this morning indicate that illegal border crossings from our north in the past 10 months have been higher than all of the previous 13 years combined. I mean, it's gotten so bad that incoming President Donald Trump has threatened to put a massive tariff on imports from Canada, and that has not gone unnoticed. And all of a sudden, Justin Trudeau's socialist political governance is on its heels, and I'm glad. I mean, I, for one, I want the old Canada back, like right now. But as I was thinking about all this, I couldn't help but think of an incredible story about a joint venture between the U.S. and Canada that most Americans don't know about. About a time when we were more than just allies. A time when we actually formed one of the most legendary special operations fighting units from men on both sides of the border. It was called the 1st Special Service Force, and it was legendary in World War II. It was a unit whose nickname became the Devil's Brigade, a unit who wore the only patch of its kind in the form of a red arrowhead that had the words USA and Canada in white letters on it. And if you look at the modern patch for the U.S. Army Special Forces, the Green Berets, you'll notice it's also in the shape of an arrowhead. That modern design for modern Special Forces was taken directly from the 1st Special Service Force patch because they are considered part of the Special Forces lineage. And to my knowledge, there has never been another time in U.S. history where two nations formed one unit to fight together, and their story is worth telling. So some years ago, I was a captain in the 20th Special Forces Group, and we planned for some training in Montana at a small installation called Fort Harrison on the outskirts of Helena. Montana is a beautiful place, rugged. The nickname Big Sky Country, it fits it so well because you feel like your view of the sky and the expansive vistas just go on and on. But aside from the training that we did, which was really solid, I also was excited to go there because I already knew as a history buff that Fort Harrison in Montana was where the 1st Special Service Force was originally formed up. They mustered in and trained right there at Fort Harrison, and there's a small museum still there right next to the barracks dedicated to their memory. But what I did not know is that several members of the original unit had moved back to Helena after World War II, and there were still several of these old warriors living there when I was there. And one of the highlights of my time in Helena was hosting a unit barbecue with members of the original 1st Special Service Force coming in to spend time with us. In 1942, the U.S. was fully at war. Lieutenant Colonel Robert Frederick was assigned to the Operations Division of the General Staff, but he had notions of a commando unit that could strike deep into enemy territory. Now, he had actually argued against an original plan to strike into Nazi territory in Norway, but the General Staff, they wanted something done, and so Frederick was given the job of creating an all-volunteer unit of commandos for missions deep behind enemy lines. The odd thing was, the decision was made to share the unit's roster with Canada. So there were 1,800 men total, 900 each from the U.S. and Canada. The Canadian Army paid its men, but the uniforms and the ultimate command of the new unit came from America. So the recruiting began. And the Canadians, they apparently took the matter seriously. They recruited and hand-selected their best members of their various airborne battalions. 900 Canadians showed up with pride and esprit de corps. The U.S.? Not so much. The U.S. put out recruitment posters at all units across the Army. But the recruiting posters, they called for single men, aged 21 to 35, that had to have 3 or more years of grammar school. Okay. The occupations that they preferred as part of your background were that you were rangers, lumberjacks, northwoodsmen, hunters, prospectors, explorers, game wardens. Married men were not accepted for the force. Recruiting teams scoured the Army for ideal candidates, but U.S. Army leaders did not want to give up their best men because their units were still being formed too. No one wanted to lose the best, so the U.S. largely sent the worst. We're talking a group of roughnecks, discipline issues, disorderly conduct. Basically, the U.S. units offloaded their problem children to the new 1st Special Service Force. It was not a good start. Those chosen, due to the secrecy of the mission, were often told that they had been selected to undergo training for a parachute unit. The unit was so secretive that many soldiers didn't even know where they were when they arrived in Helena for training, as the windows of the trains they were riding in were all painted black. So they trained in parachute operations, they conducted 60-mile ruck marches, they developed new techniques for winter warfare and mountaineering, they learned small unit tactics like raids and ambushes, they learned the use of all kinds of weapons, they were taught hand-to-hand combat and knife fighting. A special knife was actually made just for members of the unit. A replica of that same knife is now part of the modern U.S. Army Ranger Memorial at Fort Benning. And the officers of the 1st Special Service Force wore branch insignia on their uniforms of crossed arrows, and that is still worn today by the officers of the modern U.S. Special Forces. The men of the force, they were also taught to fight dirty, and they also fought each other a lot. Like the U.S. and Canadians didn't merge well at all at first. International borders can create rivalries, and the mess hall at Fort Harrison apparently saw more than one bloodletting as the men fought each other time and again. But eventually, they settled, and relationships formed. It is said by the end of their time in combat that most of the men didn't know if the guy next to them in the foxhole was from the north or the south of the border, and they did not care. They had become a lethal fighting force. So legend has it that while carrying out operations against the Germans, a member of the 1st Special Service Force found a journal of a German lieutenant. And the journal contained the following entry. It said, quote, "The black devils are all around us every time we come to the line. We never hear them come." And so they became known then as the Devil's Brigade. And they had cards printed up with the 1st Special Service Force insignia and the words, "Das Dicke Ende kommt nach," which means the worst is yet to come. Printed in red ink and left on the cards on the bodies of dead Germans as a form of psychological warfare, they became known. In fact, the Germans even put a bounty on their heads. They fought in Italy, and in 1943, they actually seized a mountain fortress called Mont La Defensa. The U.S. command had estimated it might take the men of the Devil's Brigade 4 to 5 days to seize the high ground, but the U.S. Canadian force took it in 2 hours. Marching up the mountains with artillery pounding with the enemy to their direct front so hard that they said they felt like they were marching into hell, but they took it. They fought at Anzio, and they moved on into France. Like I said, the Germans put a bounty on their head and would even give German soldiers a special leave if they could capture one of the members of the unit. In France in 1944, the 1st Special Service Force attacked and killed an entire German battalion of 1,000 men. The unit was later disbanded in December of 1944. But by then, the 1,800 men of the U.S. Canadian Commando Unit had accounted for over 12,000 German casualties. They captured 7,000 enemy soldiers. They sustained massive injuries and losses themselves as a unit. Hardly anybody came out without a Purple Heart. The day the unit was disbanded, the American commander held a parade honoring the unit. And to end the ceremony, the Canadian elements were dismissed by being honored by the American troops with a pass in review, eyes to the right, officers saluting. And to this day, on December 5th of every year, the U.S. and Canadian paratroopers celebrate Menton Day by jumping together in honor of the 1st Special Service Force. Modern special operations units from both the U.S. and Canada today trace their lineage back to the Devil's Brigade of World War II. Movies and books have been made about them. In 1983, when the U.S. Army Special Forces first began wearing the Special Forces tab on their uniforms, it was retroactively awarded to any member of the World War II's 1st Special Service Force from 50 years before. And in 2015, the U.S. Congress awarded the 1st Special Service Force, made up of men from two countries, the Congressional Gold Medal, which is the highest honor that Congress can award. So yeah, I look at it and I think how special that is. And I'll be honest with you, I'm ready to have the old Canada back. I'm ready to have our neighbors who we go to war with whom we share so much history. So get her done, Canada. Let's get rid of Trudeau and get back to being who we know we are. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. Yeah, check them out. The 1st Special Service Force. A movie was made called The Devil's Brigade, book written of the same name. There's a lot of other books written about them. But man, I'm telling you right now, they were the heat. And they were a group of guys from both sides of the border, formed into one unit. And by the end of it all, they didn't even know who was next to them was Canadian or American, and they could care less. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, so I gotta make note of something here. I gotta brag on somebody. One of our Right Side ruffians just made himself known last night. So last night we had the Right Side Christmas gathering, members of the board and staff, and I'm gonna talk about one of them actually is I'm gonna talk about him in a minute, but last night we had our Christmas gathering, And so one of our right side ruffians who texts into the show all the time, y'all have heard his name, Chef Ben from Aniana. Well, I already knew that Chef Ben is really a chef. I mean, he's a true gourmet chef. Well, Chef Ben, we called upon him and said, hey, man, before we go anywhere else, would you want to cater the food for the gathering last night? Well, he got all in, man. And to say it was good is an understatement.
It was delicious. I can confirm.
Okay. In fact, I think you ate more than anybody.
Yeah. I went back for seconds. Yeah.
And then Aunt Charlene sent a plate home with you, too.
So I get a total of 3 servings of it. Yeah.
That's nice. So first of all, applause for Chef Ben. Thank you so much for making our evening just like stellar. But I gotta read you guys, in case you're wondering, I gotta read you guys the menu. I mean, so I felt very sophisticated. I'm not gonna lie. I felt very sophisticated because we had Parmesan encrusted chicken, sauteed haricot vert, which, if I can say that correctly, that's fancy green beans.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to actually play the YouTube that tells you how to say it right. Haricot vert, sauteed haricot vert, which is like fancy green beans, rosemary roasted potatoes, winter salad with dressing, dinner rolls, and oh, by the way, an amazing hummingbird cake for dessert. Holy cow. Holy cow. Just goodness, all the goodness. In fact, here's the how do you say haricot vert? Let's see if I can do this right. Let me get this right. Here. Did you hear it? Did it come through?
I love it. Yeah.
Hang on. Do that again. You're gonna play it. Come on, say it to me.
Haricot vert.
Nice.
There you go.
Yes.
AKA fancy green beans.
Fancy. It's some of the haricot verts. Some haricot verts. Hey, let me step back. Somebody who's also a friend to the show and everything is attorney Stan McDonald. I mentioned a moment ago, he is the sponsor of the Daily Right Side Way monologue. Well, in case you did not know, attorney Stan McDonald is a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee, which is a great legacy firm in Huntsville. 30-year veteran practice of law. Not only will Stan advocate and fight for your legal needs and rights, but he has also been an absolute warrior over the years on causes that are near and dear to right side ruffians. So Stan McDonald, he has represented clients in all courts, and I'm telling you, thousands of real estate transactions. If you want to know more, Stan McDonald, he can represent you, 256-479-3020. That's Stan McDonald, 479-3020. And no representation made the quality legal service before, and great quality legal service for other lawyers. Yay! We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I am talking about the one I'm in. It's Alabama, y'all, Alabama. And y'all, I'm telling you, oh, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, some changes are afoot. Just so as you know, some changes are afoot. So if you are listening to us, and you hear me say all the time, you know, the giant footprint we have and where all we broadcast, some of that's going to change. It's not to mean we're not changing. We're still here, very much so, and you can get us no matter where you are. But we are coming off of our 101.1 affiliate as of January 1. So here's the deal. If you were listening to us on Crawford Broadcasting out of Birmingham, 101.1, just know that we went through contract negotiations, our term was up, and we decided at the end of the contract negotiations that our best bet was to go ahead and say thank you anyway. And so we are not going to be staying on with 101.1. However, I have some announcements coming in the next couple of days, and I'll be glad to let you know more at the time. But in the meantime, just know this. The fact that we're not on 101.1 does not mean we're not out there. You can get us anywhere you are. So here's what I'd really, really like you to do. In fact, apparently a bunch of y'all did it yesterday. Like a lot, right? So go check out the online means of watching the show. Now in Huntsville, we're still on the markets there. Some other things are coming I'll tell you about later. But the reality is it doesn't matter where you are in the whole world. In the whole wide world, you can go to the World Wide Web and get Right Side Radio every single day. So we're on Rumble. We're on Twitch. We're on YouTube. We're on our website, rightsidemedia.org. We're also on 2 versions of X or Twitter. Just go to at Right Side Media or at Sin Phil Williams, both of them. There we are. And here's something that would also mean a lot to us. And we, y'all blessed us yesterday. Our goal is to reach 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. Because when that happens, YouTube allows us to do even more. And as we grow the company, that means something. So if you have not yet subscribed on YouTube, It doesn't mean anything. You're not paying anything. All it means is it's easier for you to find us later. But when they see 1,000 subscribers, we get to do stuff. And so all of a sudden yesterday, we hit 920. And so push us to 1,000, y'all. It would mean the world. But yeah, we're not going anywhere. You can still get us live online, streaming on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, anytime, or on radio. There you go. I got to get some text messages. So people are reacting to Chef Ben. Oh, Chef Ben texted in. He did. Yeah, what'd he say?
He said that you guys rock, made my day. He also said he loved the T-shirt. Everyone needs one of those for Christmas.
We gave him one of our new Right Side Radio, Right Side Ruffian T-shirts. So, yeah, he's one of the first to get those. But Chef Ben, you did an amazing job, man. You came through. And by the way, when he said he would have it there on time, he was probably 5 minutes early. I mean, he was spot on. And I'll tell you what else I appreciate, and I'll go ahead and say this on his behalf too. He also said that he already had a full week of catering laid on, and he just went ahead and squeezed in one more because he wanted to do some food for the ruffians. And so that just meant the world to us, and everybody enjoyed it. So thank you. Brian from Huntsville says, hummingbird cake. Wow. Now PETA and the Audubon Society will be snapping at your heels. It worked.
I'll just say I never even heard or had hummingbird cake before last night, and it was very good.
We are expanding your horizons.
Yeah, you are. And thanks to Chef Ben for expanding my horizons as well.
Your culinary horizons are being expanded. James from Bucksville, Alabama says, I too want the old Canada back. In World War II, Canada used small corvettes with open bridges to escort convoys to England across the cold North Atlantic. Small and lightly armed. However, they were very effective against the U-boats. That's cool. Wow. Open boats. That's cool. Thank you very much, James. Appreciate you. JT Lacey Springs is motivating monologue worthy of a Paul Harvey best. Oh, man. Put me in that category. I'm not worthy. Jeff from Indiana said, Phil, I would not be opposed to part of Canada seceding and becoming part of the United States as long as it's the conservative provinces and not the radical left. So I think Alaska ought to be connected to the lower 48 by land. I'm for that. Can we have British Columbia, too, while we're at it? I mean, I think that'd be cool. Just saying. John from Huntsville says, Phil, magnificent monologue. Also, JP, because Memphis somehow hung on. And then he talks about sports. I'll let you handle that.
The answer to your question is James Madison, John. So there you go.
Okay. Roger from Madison says, great monologue, Phil. I actually have one of the red arrowhead patches. Do you really? Roger, if that's a real one, shoot me a picture of it. If that's like an actual World War II piece of memorabilia, that's cool. Yeah, they're very good. Look up the patch, by the way, if you haven't seen it. It's a red arrowhead, and it says USA across the top, and then Canada in letters that go, you know, perpendicular. It's like I said, it's the only unit that I'm aware of that was formed where two countries put their men into one unit. Now we had units that worked alongside each other, but there you go. Mike from Coxie says he just subscribed. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate you very much.
And yeah, we got 930 now after we mentioned that.
We just picked up 10, like right there.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are awesome. James from St. Clair says, experts agree Trudeau is really the son of Fidel Castro. Google it. I've seen that. And by the way, have you looked at their pictures side by side?
I have.
It's a little creepy.
He's got some of his tendencies. maybe not as extreme, but you know.
I'm not sure politics runs in the blood, but hey, you never know. Look at Trump's kids. Apparently it does.
Yeah.
And then John from Huntsville says, Chef Ben's menu sounds amazing, but does he know how to make meatloaf tacos?
He probably does. I'm sure he does.
It's debatable. I don't know. I'm not sure meatloaf tacos are just a norm, brother. I'm not sure. And then last one, somebody on Twitter just hit me up and says, somebody goes by the name The Investment Venturer, says the Canadian dollar will soon be less than the pesos. We need Trudeau out of office. Canada currently has no future. Well, they got a future, but it's going to mean some brassy conservatives got it going. And by the way, we're going to play a clip in a few minutes. If you're not familiar, so one of my favorite political characters right now is a guy, and I hope I have his name right, Pierre Poilievre. Is that how he pronounces his name? Do you know?
According to Google, it's pronounced Poilievre. Poilievre?
Poilievre?
Either way. Yeah. Poilievre, Poilievre. Either way.
We'll,
I think people know who we're talking about.
We'll just call him Pierre.
Yeah, Pierre.
All right, so Pierre. Anyway, this guy's a Canadian conservative who is the head of the Conservative Party because they're a multi-party parliament. But he's the head of the Conservative Party, and he's vying to be the next prime minister. And he could very well wind up being the Canadian Trump. It could be a whole new day if he takes office. I'll talk more about that here momentarily. And I'll tell you who else is one of my favorites, and that's a guy that he reminds me of, just with a different kind of – by the way, his voice is commanding. When Pierre speaks, his voice has this real commanding kind of depth to it.
A lot more commanding than Trudeau.
Trudeau's a girl.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. Trudeau's for, you know, men and girls sports because he is one. Okay, let's jump on in here. Let's just take this thing and go with it. I'm talking about O Canada, and so first of all, know this: Trump did something the other day that really got. I mean, Trudeau actually flew down to Mar-a-Lago to meet with him and try to talk this thing through because it worried him so much because he knows that Trump will do it. But Trump literally said that on day one. In fact, I've got it right here. Hang on a second. He went out on Truth Social, his social media platform. Donald Trump did on November 25th. He said this. He said, thousands of people are pouring through Mexico and Canada, bringing crime and drugs at levels never seen before. And right now, a caravan coming from Mexico composed of thousands of people seems to be unstoppable in its quest to come through our currently open border. On January 20th, as one of my first executive orders, I will sign all necessary documents to charge Mexico and Canada a 25% tariff on all products coming into the United States and its ridiculous open borders. Y'all, that would be massive. And it also, by the way, has the Canadians really worried because they've done next to nothing to help the border situation. Trudeau is a socialist, and he's also a weak on crime, feckless kind of leader. And I believe he's a globalist. And the truth is, he has not been a friend of the United States. He'll try to be sweet-talking. He'll try to be coy. What he reminds you of is kind of an effeminate version of Gavin Newsom. That's what he reminds me of.
That's a great comparison, yep.
An effeminate version of Gavin Newsom. I just coined that. You're welcome to use it. So let's picture this. 25% tariff. What does that mean? Well, just so you know, the United States is, of course, the world's largest economy. 14% of our international trade is with Canada. 14%. It's the number two in terms of our trading partners. So we've got Mexico, which, believe it or not, is first at 16%. And then you've got Canada at 14% and then China at 11%. Those are our three biggest trading partners. 14%. This equates to, I believe it is, I think I quoted it earlier, something in the neighborhood of almost $1 trillion annually between the two countries. Well, 25% of $1 trillion. Well, I take it back. It was only going to be on the imports, and we import roughly $480 billion from them. So you can imagine then we're going to have somewhere in the neighborhood of tariffs that equate to $125 billion ish, give or take a billion. That's massive. And they're freaking out over it. So as tariffs are looming, U.S. News and World Report says, which countries are on the chopping block? Well, the top three countries that make up a combined 40% of our overall trade are all three facing tariffs. Trump promised to impose a 25% tariff on Mexico and Canada and 10% on China. Okay. And the freak out north of the border began. Well, we've just had a massive shift in global, but in Canadian politics that is unhinging the Trudeau government. Now, their government's not set up the same as ours. They are a democracy, but they are not set up in the way that we are. They run on a parliament. They're much like France. They run on a parliamentary system, and they have to have coalition governments, and they wind up working with this party and that party to garner together support to pick, you know, one to be in, and then who has the majority. Well, right now, believe it or not, conservatives have been advancing in the parliament to the extent that if somebody held a snap election today, which is what it's called, conservatives are likely to win. But think about the things that they've endured in Canada over recent years. Trudeau's been in office for 9 years. This has been Barack Obama and Joe Biden mixed with like Macron from France all rolled together. And the Canadian people have had it. And he is facing right now something like 80% of the population is disenfranchised with his leadership. and he may have to resign. And this could be a huge shakeup right north of our border. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I'm going to give you more details, and then I'll start telling you some of the things that we're looking at, how this plays out worldwide, and, oh, by the way, what's going to happen, and can Trudeau resign? And if he does, how does the U.S. fare with that? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. Hey, by the way, in response to John from Huntsville, Chef Ben just tweeted in. I'm looking at it. Monday's meatloaf is Tuesday's tacos. He says, great idea. A little garlic, a little salt, presto, add your favorite condiments, go to town.
It sounds really good. I can't lie. Meatloaf tacos sounds really good. So I have to merge in two of my favorite foods into one. How can it be bad?
You know what? Mash it. Just go ahead and mash it. And Brad from Limestone County says, meatloaf tacos are not the norm? To quote the former Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court and later U.S. Senator Howard Heflin, he says, we're going to have to do something about that. Oh, what an audience. All right, let's talk about Canada again for a few more minutes. So let's talk about some of what they've been enduring. So first of all, Trudeau came out in the last year and pledged to fix what he called a housing crisis and invested billions and billions of Canadian dollars into building millions of homes, which, by the way, smacks a lot of the plan that Kamala Harris floated during her campaign. Remember that? She was going to build 3.2 million houses. The government will do it. Well, you know what? The Canadian government said it would do it under Trudeau, and it turned into a complete debacle. In fact, nobody's gotten a new house out of the billions he spent. Where'd the money go? And then they've got rising inflation that is just sucking the life out of people. On my Twitter, by the way, at Sinfield Williams, on my Twitter, I posted a speech by a guy we're going to hear another piece from in a minute, the conservative leader in Canada, whose name is, I'm not sure, Pierre Poilievre, I think is what it's pronounced, but I'm not positive.
That's good enough.
Okay. But he pointed out that he is meeting people constantly who are having to get second and even third jobs just to pay their normal bills because nobody can afford life in Canada anymore. And he told this heart-wrenching story of a woman who just wanted a house. But she can't, and so she's paying through the nose to rent, and she knows she'll never get ahead under current, you know, regime. Well, all right, there's that. Then remember what happened a couple years ago? The most draconian lockdown restrictions during COVID in the world. It was the Canadian government was arresting pastors out of their churches. The Canadian government was forcing people into quarantines and was mandating that civilian sector jobs require vaccinations. So much so that you remember the Freedom Convoy? Do you remember this? So 2 years ago this month, in fact, 2 years ago this week, a thing called the Freedom Convoy hit Ottawa and rolled into the Capitol, blaring their horns. Hundreds of you know, big rig truckers decided to block off governance. And it became known as the Freedom Convoy. And they set up shop. They were blocking the roads. They circled the Capitol buildings. They just sat out there and camped out and had barbecues. And the Canadian government cracked down, like, hard. I'm talking about wow hard. But it was just a symbol that Canadians were fed up with their government. So as they're out there, the Canadian government under Trudeau decided to take draconian measures again. They invoked the Emergency Powers Act. And they began freezing all the truckers' personal bank accounts, driving people into bankruptcy, forcing them off the streets, arresting them in massive operations. There were mayors who began taking advantage of the opportunity to pass things like no horn honking rules. And I saw one particular, I did a monologue on this, about a neat older gentleman who was like in his 80s, who honked his horn and waved at the convoy, and he was arrested and taken away in handcuffs. The whole thing just began to get so out of control. And then you got the southern or the northern border. Right now, just this year, in Canada, 19,000 people have been arrested trying to cross the border illegally. Now, that doesn't sound like anything when you compare it to the millions that come across the southern border, but it's actually more than the previous 13 years combined. It's out of control. And the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and their Border Patrol are really taken aback by it. And they're getting no help. In fact, they also say they have detained 358 suspects on the terror watch list at the northern ports of entry to Canada. This is the Canada that didn't used to be there. This is the Canada of Justin Trudeau. So what's happening right now is that Trudeau flew down here to meet with Trump at Mar-a-Lago. Please, please, please don't do a tariff. Please, I'll be nice. We can do nice things together. It's going to be nice. It was like, you know, kibbles and bits, kibbles and bits. Well, Trump made a crack that most Canadians would rather be a 51st state than to live the way they are right now. And apparently that took some kind of, I don't know, it just basically sucked the wind out of Trudeau's visit to the point that Trump is still using it on social media. If you haven't seen it, he keeps referring to Trudeau as Governor Trudeau. It's like the most epic troll ever, Governor Trudeau of the 51st state of Canada. But you're looking at right now a nation that has seen a spike in illegal immigration, rising crime, unanswered church burnings, housing crisis, coercive medicine, and state-facilitated suicide is now one of the leading causes of death. It's a mess. And we're about to see Trudeau step down. I hope. More on this. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on Hump Day. And I'm finishing up this topic on O Canada. And I got a couple of text messages. One, John from Harvest has texted in. He says, I love that Trump is trolling Trudeau by calling him governor, but I really don't want two more senators from Canada. Man's got a point. James from St. Clair says, Canada also passed even worse gun-grabbing laws last week. I had not seen that, okay? Gun-grabbing laws last week, so I honestly don't know what the people up there have left in the cabinet at this point. Yeah, I mean, can't get food on the table, can't pay the rent, can't own a gun. But assisted suicide is there for you.
But also, too, they have the carbon tax, which is like one of the most authoritarian and crazy, crazy things I've ever heard of. You know, I don't know the specifics on like how much or whatever, but the fact they even have a carbon tax is just crazy to me. But yet Trudeau will go fly around on his private jet everywhere, anywhere he wants. The rules don't apply to him. It just applies to, you know, people trying
to pay
their bills.
That's the way it always is with liberals.
Yeah.
It's always what's best for, you know, me, but not for thee kind of thing. And then Brian from Decatur's texted in and says, think of all the money to be brought to the Canadian economy if all these left-leaning liberal communist actors and actresses from Hollywood would just finally move there like they said they would. That would be fantastic. Said, talk about resolving two issues at the same time, one for us and the economic one for them. Nice. Listen, so Pierre, say it again for me.
Poilievre.
Pierre Poilievre. Canadian conservative leader, potentially in line to be the next prime minister. And I'll talk about momentarily how that works. But I've posted a couple of video clips, audio video clips of him on my social media at Sin Phil Williams on X. But I'm going to play one of them for you here right now. You good with that one? You ready? This is Canadian conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. Am I saying that right? I why can't I get that right?
Oh, no, you got it right there.
Hey, Pierre Poilievre just yesterday. Go ahead.
Ethel Moussa with CBC News. And Mr. Poilievre, if you could also answer this question in French as well as English. The government is coming out with a $1.3 billion plan to address border security. Do you think that's enough to stop Trump's tariffs? And if it was up to you, how much specifically would you spend on border security? What number would you put on it?
Well, you ask a classically CBC question, which is how much money can you spend on a problem? Well, that's the wrong question. That's exactly the question Trudeau has been asking for 9 years. It's the reason he's doubled our debt while making everything worse. You know, for example, he spent $80 billion on housing affordability. Well, how'd that work? He doubled housing costs. He spent $60 million on his gun confiscation. Zero guns. He spent millions on a school food program that hasn't served a single solitary meal. So we should not judge a program based on how expensive we can make it. We should judge it by what it can do. How many helicopters? How many drones? How many boots on the ground? That's the question I will be asking when I'm prime minister. And how do we deliver it for the lowest possible price to taxpayers? Wouldn't it be nice if we had a prime minister who said, we secured the borders, we put more boots on the ground, we stopped tons and tons of fentanyl from traveling back and forth, we arrested the terrorists, we shut down the organized crime, we reduced gun crime, and by the way, we did it with less tax dollars. That's how our mentality has to change. We have to stop judging politicians by how expensive they can make things and start judging them by the results they get. You went into a restaurant and had a terrible experience. The food was awful. You got food poisoning. The service was bad. You wouldn't walk out and say, but it was great because it cost me $1,000. And because it's the most expensive restaurant around, it must be the best. No, we judge the meal by the food on the plate and the service that delivered it. That's how I'm going to run a common sense conservative government. Next.
Wow. Wow. Can I have some applause on that? I think that deserves applause. Just that's the kind of thing you want to hear more of. And that's, by the way, that's the way he is all the time. That's not a one-off. That's not like posturing for the moment because he has a chance to be prime minister. That's the way he is all the time. And so Pierre Poilievre, by the way, one of my favorite, you've seen it, we talked about it. One of my favorite moments is where he's standing there eating an apple, which if you've ever watched somebody eat an apple and they eat it loud on purpose, it can be really obnoxious. And he knew it. So he had a liberal media guy asking him questions, and he's standing there eating an apple. And the guy's saying, but sir, people are saying this. And he just takes a bite and goes, what people? Well, but some people are actually saying that they think this, what things? And he kept wearing the guy didn't know what to do with him.
Sir, people are comparing you to Trump and his policies. What policies?
So what's going to happen? All right. So here's what happened this week. One of the cabinet members that is most loyal and has been there for the longest for Trudeau is a finance minister by the name of Chrystia Freeland. And she very publicly resigned, and she sent an open letter that was scathing, telling him, for the last number of weeks, you and I have found ourselves at odds over the best path forward for Canada. And she said, we've got to get ready for the Trump tariffs, and all you're doing is spending money. And so basically she resigned. So this is a person who has been a Trudeau loyalist who just left his cabinet, and she received a standing ovation when she walked back into Parliament, because she's a member of Parliament also, when she walked back into Parliament. In other words, people love the fact that she did that. 45 members of Parliament have now signed a letter demanding Trudeau step down. That's up from 24. Now, the way they work this in Canada is if a majority of Parliament, I think a two-thirds, if a majority of Parliament votes no confidence, then he is forced out. Well, he's never had to deal with that because he had one of the other Liberal parties that would usually sort of caucus with them and make sure it didn't get there. He's losing that other Liberal Party now. And so the real sense is their coalition system of government in Canada could move for a vote of no confidence at any given time if they think they've got the votes. I mean, he's got 20% of the parliament is now saying, please step down. And so if he reaches a point where they vote the no confidence, he will have to step down. If he sees it coming, he almost has to step down, but at that point he would have to call for what's called a snap election. Well, the Conservatives have gained a majority in Parliament. If he calls for a snap election, the guy you just heard a moment ago, Pierre Poilievre, is going to wind up being the prime minister. And that's a whole new day, y'all. And there are those, I got a piece right here from Daily Wire, Ben Shapiro. The sense is by pundits who are watching this, and by the way, it's Germany too, but Canada is who I'm talking about, that this is actually potentially going to happen in the next few days. Now, he actually has a break, and what I thought was rather interesting was that if you read this particular article that I have here from New York Post, it says that Justin Trudeau has lost control of everything. But, and I find this just indicative of Justin Trudeau. Because they're on vacation, they're on Christmas break right now, the parliament, technically he can wait a little bit. And it said, political allies of the beleaguered prime minister are saying that Trudeau needs some time for self-reflection. Let me just go ahead and point out that beta males are the ones who hold office and say, I need time for personal reflection. All right? Take your personal reflection, but you don't announce it to the world that way if you're the leader of one of the greatest economies in the West. You just don't do that. But then again, like I said, Trudeau has been a girly man from day one, and it's been sad to watch Canada go the way it has. All right, I want Canada back.
Yeah, and also I would just say don't expect Trudeau to be considerate of time and energy and stepping down on his own accord. It reminds me of, you know, what the South Korean leader did. I don't expect Trudeau to declare martial law, but I'm just comparing it in the sense of he would resign as a last resort. Like, he will probably try to find any measure to stay in power before he does that. So,
well, he's done any measure he could to exert power. We know that over the last 9 years. He's become one of those smile at your face, stab you in the back guys.
He's great at that. Yeah. Slimy politician.
Slimy, and then he'll rush out to a microphone and try to pretend that things are fine and talk in this kind of sweet voice when he does about why things are okay. Chris from Priceville says, if he's forced out, he'll be on The View to replace Whoopi. American liberals love him. Mike from Coxie says, Trump would give him a nickname. Should give him a nickname, Pierre Polar Bear.
That works.
I can see it.
Yeah.
That works for me. All right, we're taking a break. We're going to come back and change topics. Going to talk about drones, y'all. Drones. What in God's name? Drones. Come on. Does anybody know what's happening? Apparently, our U.S. government does not. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. Hey, I'm going to Dipper number two, which is crazy, by the way. I'm looking up on the screen and the exact same topic just came up on Fox News.
They listen to the show.
I don't think for a second that they don't. I mean, they listen. They watch us every day.
They listen to the last segment. It's like, guys, let's beat them to the punch.
Quick, get the drones out. Anyway, they're doing drones on Fox News right now, and that's what we're doing, droning on. That's number two on the Triple Dipper. And so just so you know, I'm going to be calling for audio number two, by the way. Just so you know, the president has finally spoken on this. He approached the opportunity to enlighten the world on his leadership on the subject of drones. And so I tell you what, let's just do this. Before we even get started, let's go ahead and sit back and feel our confidence swell in the leadership that we currently have in the White House as he addresses something that has his constituencies worried. Play it.
Nothing nefarious, apparently, but they're checking it all out. I think it's just one. There's a lot of drones authorized up there. I think one started, and they all got it. Everybody's wanting to get in the deal.
And that's it. That's all he had to say. Out there, as he's walking to Marine One again, he's asked, what about these drones? And he says something to the effect of, yeah, it's nothing nefarious. I mean, you know, just everybody wants to get in on the deal. That's all you got?
The exact quote is, nothing nefarious, apparently. Apparently, it's the part I find funny. there's a lot of drones authorized up there. I think one started and they all got, you know, everybody wanted to get in the deal.
Everybody wanted to get in the deal. So if you don't know who it is, then how do you know everyone wanted to get in on the deal?
Well, he doesn't know because he says nothing nefarious, apparently. Well,
I don't know which part of this to detect the most. The apparently piece, you're right. I hadn't even keyed in on that, but you nailed that piece. And then the whole get in on the deal. What a stupid thing to say. What an absolutely asinine thing to say. Can you give me a womp wall? Do you have a womp wall over there? I think you do. That deserves a womp wall. Yep, that's about the most anticlimactic answer ever given to the press on anything, like, ever in the history of ever.
Current sitting U.S. president, by the way.
That's right. So, by the way, we're at that point on the drones. We are at that point. We are at the, watch this, hold my beer. We're at that point right now. I say that because the FBI is now having to warn people to please don't shoot at them. So, Fox News has an article, Dateline Today. FBI warns New Jersey residents not to shoot down drones or point lasers at aircraft. Like, Bubba. By the way, there's rednecks in New Jersey, too. Bubba, please don't shoot the drones. Please don't shoot at what you think is a drone. Please just don't shoot stuff right now. How about that? Anyway, so the FBI field office in Newark urged New Jersey residents this week not to shoot down drones or point lasers at manned aircraft, taking to social media to warn against the dangerous and possibly deadly activity. The drone sightings have prompted a collective sense of panic and prompted some vigilante-like responses, with social media users documenting their efforts to take matters into their own hands. So we have no records of these being shot down. Don't know that you could, but I'm looking at it and thinking, holy cow, we're at that point where the FBI is finally actually, I mean, the president's got nothing. He's got nothing. There's a bunch of guys want to get in on the deal. That's all he's got. Well, you know, ice cream, kid, that's where we're going. The beach and get in on the deal. That's our president. But it's apparently to the point that the FBI is having to say, hey, by the way, we know there's a lot of them. Please don't shoot at them. And I would join them in that. No wisdom in shooting at them right now. Let me go to the phones real quick. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, brother?
I'm awesome. You know, drone shooting is a sport that the whole family can enjoy.
I can see that.
I can't think of a better way for people to getting together during the Christmas holidays in near military bases in New Jersey than having at it. Because that's getting in on the deal, too, when you think about it.
Getting in on the deal.
President Biden is the same guy who Jimmy Carter, in his dying days, is so eternally grateful for because he was going to go down in history as the very worst in the entire history of the U.S. presidency. And now he can go to his grave knowing that he's only the second worst. But Biden was the one who left Chinese spy balloons just traverse across the nation, taking their time, photographing, collecting evidence. And then once it was out over the Atlantic Ocean and the Chinese had already downloaded and streamed all the information they needed, oh, yeah, now we're going to shoot it down. It's like, good God.
Yeah.
Can January 20th get here any sooner?
No, it can't. In fact, if I could speed up the clock, I would. just get us there, please. But, yeah, I look at it and think, you got to know that at some point a president, would have been briefed on something that is getting this much press attention. And yet all he can say is, well, you know, there's just a bunch of folks want to get in on the deal. That's just all we got. It's awful.
Well, if any credible agency, pick one. I don't know who's in charge of securing our sovereignty of our borders. Mayorkas.
Yeah.
If they had a press release where they said, well, we've evaluated data from the national airspace, all the radar systems and the approach controls, and we've concluded conclusively, you know, this. You know, a little bit of that. A little bit of science and governmental credibility.
Yeah.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Nothing to see here. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. They're just getting in on the deal. That's all it is. Yeah. Hey, Sparky, great to hear from you, man.
All right, Tate. Have a good rest of the week.
Bye. All right, brother. You too. See ya. We're hitting a break. I hate it. I love it when Sparky calls in. But, it's just there's nothing to it. Listen, when we get back from this break, I will tell you, the New Jersey congressman, Jeff Van Drew, who said that he knew that it was all coming from an Iranian mothership off the coast, he's got some new comments. You might want to know. Is he still saying it? I'll tell you when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about it, y'all. It's Alabama. I love this state. Man, I'm talking about this show. Goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, you may recall that we do way more than radio. So Right Side Media is the name of the parent company. Right Side Radio is just one of our productions. Right Side Media, though, also has podcasting, both audio and video, and we have the written word that gets published in like 18 different regional news outlets every week. The most recent edition of the Right Philosophy podcast, which is my video podcast, came out today, right? At 11 o'clock today?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Right Philosophy podcast, this one is called Win Friends, Kill Enemies. Yeah. I got some stories about wartime service mixed in with it, but it is literally about putting the United States back on a footing where the world stage sees us as someone they want to be friends with and know they're better off being our friend than ever being our enemy. Take a look at that. You can find it at rightsidemedia.org. You can also find them on our YouTube channel. But we've got four separate video podcast lines. I do one of them. Emily Jones from Moms for Liberty does one of them called The Controversial Mom. Jared Hudson, former Navy SEAL, does one called The Liberty Minute. And Birdman does one called Right Click. And they come out all throughout the week. Right Philosophy, Win Friends, Kill Enemies, out today.
And the new Liberty Minute comes out tomorrow. He'll be discussing the Second Amendment in this one. So
cool.
Any Second Amendment lovers out there, which I think there's a lot listening, then make sure you go check it out tomorrow at 11 a.m.
And Birdman's is cool, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Birdman has an entirely different genre. I mean, if you've got somebody who's young and into gaming and high tech and all that kind of stuff, Birdman, that's his gig, man. And he comes at it. He has a Christian, conservative perspective in the midst of the gaming world. He'll show you all the wokeness that's built into, like, you know, video games that kids see, and it's very cool. So anyway, check them all out, video podcasts and all the stuff. Find it at rightsidemedia.org. All right, so back on this thing about drones. So I thought it was a little odd that he did this. He kind of went out on a limb. I think he got a little half-cocked, but Republican Congressman Jeff Van Drew came out last week, and he was on Harris Faulkner's Fox News show, and he said emphatically, he said, "I'm going to tell you the real deal. Iran launched a mothership that contains these drones. It's off the east coast of the United States of America. They launched the drones." So he basically said one of our adversaries is flying drones over our airspace from a mothership just off of our coast. Oh, that's an eye-opener. But I also noticed that not a lot of attention was given to it because it also felt very half-cocked. The Pentagon immediately denied it, which means nothing to me because it's the Biden Pentagon. They're going to deny that the sky is blue, right? He actually doubled down on his claim in another interview, but then by Friday, he'd already begun backing off. So this story came from townhall.com Dateline yesterday. He's saying, well, you know, while it's been verified that Iran does have three such drone ships, okay, new satellite images do show that they're all currently stationed off the southern coast of Iran. So they're not here, but he says, I remain fully committed to ensuring the security of the people of South Jersey. Okay. But President-elect Trump, he says, and he's been receiving briefings, he says the Biden administration knows what is happening. It's more than just a bunch of people trying to get in on the deal. Joe Biden. There's all these Bidenisms that we should just be able to just put into some kind of reel that we just play once in a while.
I got hairy legs. I go down in the summer. They turn blonde. And you get in the pool.
Corn Pop was a bad dude. Carried a chain. God. Corn Pop. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so one of the things that's being talked about right now is what this is doing to politics. So a guy named Rich Zaoli is a radio guy in New Jersey. He wrote a piece at Fox News. How do we get Fox News to print mine?
Well, they clearly listen to the show, so just, hey.
Well, they do.
Y'all are listening.
We know that to be a fact.
Yeah.
Every night I go home, and there's Jesse Waters doing my show. Anyway. Rich Zaoli, a radio guy from New Jersey, he said, elections are often won by little things, and from my vantage point in New Jersey, there's lots of big things over the skies of the Garden State. He said, this has become a major issue in the 2025 race for New Jersey governor. Their governor is coming up this year. And he said, Democrats are gaslighting us, and Republican candidates are seizing the moment to offer the kind of message that propelled Trump to victory to make New Jersey skies safe again. So what he's saying is he believes that these drones, because of the feckless way that the government has been handling it with Democrats in charge, is going to wind up having an impact on the governor's race in New Jersey. That's crazy. 1819 News here in Alabama. They've got a piece talking about Alabama drone sightings. Alabama drone sightings. I'm looking at it right now, and it says mysterious drone sightings in the Northeast have caused nationwide people nationwide to pay close attention to the skies, but in South Alabama, we're also seeing drones being reported on social media. Thomas from Athens has texted into the show. He says he's actually seen drones over Montesano Mountain in Huntsville. And he says that they had lights arranged in a triangular configuration. They were changing colors every 15 seconds, but they were never red or green, which is the standard for lawful aircraft. So, craziness. What you got?
I don't know. I'm just kind of skeptical on... I think a lot of what we're seeing now is hobbyists. I mean, obviously not all of them. There's a lot that certainly aren't, but I feel like a lot of the videos out recently have been hobbyists, but that's just my take on it.
I don't disagree with that. I think some of them, a lot of people are trying to get on the deal.
I think that's probably what he meant.
Yeah, the deal.
It's hobbyists.
Yeah.
But he said it in a Joe Biden manner.
But here's one of the pieces that does bother me. Some of these drones are the size of an SUV. Mm-hmm. That's not normal.
Obviously
that's
not hobbyist. Obvious, yeah.
And then some of them have been floating over sensitive sites. We have a Chinese national who was arrested for flying a drone over Lackland Air Force Base in California. It's not getting a lot of press attention, but he was. He was arrested, I think, last week for that. That's a Chinese national. And then you have this story from, I just pulled this one off Yahoo as one of the sources. Wright-Patterson Air Base in Ohio. Wright-Patterson Air Force Base had drones flying over it for 17 straight days. It shut down the base. Now, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I think Wright-Pat is one of the sources of heavy lift aircraft, like, you know, cargo and all. But 17 days? And they didn't do anything to shoot it down? They didn't do anything to stop it?
That's what I'm wondering.
I'm looking at it going, 17 days, y'all. Somebody in the Biden administration, please act like you care. You got drones over a sensitive military installation that causes them to have to shut down the runway on one of our major material movers' airstrips. And the best you can do is go, they're trying to get in on the deal. That's what we got. I got a phone call. Brian from Huntsville. Hey, man, how are you?
Doing pretty well and everything. I thought it was very interesting on a couple of things that Biden talking about the drones behind that jet engine and everything and the nonsense that he said. And then it was interesting that you followed up by your going out to break music, Double Vision. And as far as all us rednecks and everything know in the north, and some of us migrate south from time to time, don't shoot the drones, because every reasonable redneck, we all know that at the bait is always at the end of a hook.
Yeah.
So you're playing into something.
You're playing into something. That's right. Load it with double op buck, but don't be there when they arrive to see what happened. That's here, hold
all
my,
right. Thank
hold
y'all
my
very
beer,
much.
Bubba. All right. We'll see you, Brian. Take care. That's nothing good starts with, here, hold my beer. Or, ooh, watch this.
It's one of them drones.
Yeah, it's one of them drones. Oh, watch this. Hold my beer.
It's an airplane. Don't shoot at it.
Edna, give me my shotgun. bring me a box of them double lots. Hold my beer. Watch this.
Yeah, that's a famous line before disaster.
That's exactly right. Nothing good comes from that. It's not just Wright-Patt Air Base. It's not just Lackland Air Force Base. Also, by the way, I've got an article here off of ABC News, Dateline, 4 days ago. There have been multiple instances of drones entering the airspace at a naval weapons station in New Jersey. So it's Naval Weapons Station Earl, which I'm not familiar with. It's in a place called Colts Neck, New Jersey. Said it was aware of the sightings and continues to closely coordinate with federal and state agencies. Oh, good. No direct threats to the installation have been identified, but we can confirm there have been multiple instances of unidentified drones entering the airspace above Naval Weapons Station Earl. That's in New Jersey. Also, over Picatinny Arsenal in New Jersey. Why is that important? Picatinny Arsenal is one of the test beds for new weapon systems for the U.S. Army. So Picatinny Arsenal, Naval Weapons Station Earl, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, Lackland Air Force Base. Anybody see a problem here? We're owed something a little more than just, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of people trying to get in on the deal. So much so that even Democrats are calling them out. So Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy, and I'm trying to figure out what state he's from, but Daily Caller has a piece that says that he's a top Democratic member of the House Committee on Chinese Communist Party. He's now urging the Biden administration to be more forthcoming. There's an idea. Look, hey, sir, you're on the way out, but could you please be more forthcoming? The bottom line is that people just want to know something. If you said, we can't talk about it, it's a top secret, you know, military piece of hardware, and no. At least there'd be an acknowledgement that we don't have to worry about aliens landing, right? At least it would be something that, you know, you look at and go, well, it's not an Iranian mothership. But they're not doing that. And then no one will identify it. But no one has filed an FAA flight plan. So what the heck, man? Anyway, the bottom line for us is this. Don't shoot at them and don't shine lasers at them because you'll go to jail. Don't do it. At the same time, keep filming it and posting it on social media because that's the only thing that appears to drive the train. Because they weren't going to say boo about this. You got drones over military installations for 17 days. No one says boo about it. And then all of a sudden, social media. It's just like the Chinese spy balloon. No one in the government was going to say boo about it until someone actually saw the balloon, took pictures, and said, what in God's name is this? And all of a sudden, it was like this whole thing. We got a balloon. We're going to let it float over the entire United States, and then we'll take care of it from there. Okay. All right, we're going to close the tour on that one. Don't forget, coming up top of the hour, we'll be back with the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson. In the meantime, I'll come back and get some of your text messages here momentarily. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. By the way, don't forget, I mentioned it earlier, the latest edition of the Right Philosophy podcast is out. It came out today at 11. You can find it on our YouTube channel. Just go to Right Side Media on YouTube, and all of our stuff is there. Let me get some text messages here. Shorty from Anderson just checked in. He says, hey, Shorty, might want to check your voice text, man. He starts off by saying, hey, girl. I think he meant, hey, Phil. He says, first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for the shout out to my son for his 18th birthday. And that was awesome, man. Thank you. And second, with all these drones flying over these military bases in secured areas, I can almost guarantee you the Biden administration has ordered every single military member not to take those drones out. Your thoughts? Probably. I'm not going to be a bit surprised, Shorty. I mean, I look at it and think, why are you letting it happen? And yet they're telling people don't do anything about it. Now, I get civilians not shooting at it, but on a sensitive military installation, they can do a coordinated effort to take it down. But what we're also finding is that we do have a vulnerability when it comes to drone warfare. And the war in Ukraine has really advanced the capability of drone warfare. Everything from, you know, battlefield spying, if you will, or reconnaissance, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, ISR capability has been dramatically increased. But they've even gotten to the point that they now will load a regular little store-bought Walmart-style drone with a grenade and fly it over a foxhole and drop it in.
I've seen so many videos of that. Yeah. And it's scary because, I mean, literally all you hear is the and then you see it above you just drops grenade, off it goes.
I've seen the videos of the guys looking up, yep. and the thing's falling down in their laps.
But, I mean, like you said, it's been a major shakeup in terms of, I think, everybody woke up to the capabilities of drone warfare from this war. And yeah. China in particular has, they've learned a lot from this, I can just tell you that. They've upped their drone game a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark from Red Bay says, Biden doesn't know anything about drones. His mind is still hung up on presidential pardons. That's what the deal is. Yeah. Everybody wants to get in on the deal. Oh, you mean pardons? Yeah, the deal. Make me a deal, man. How much you gonna pay me? Just saying. Brian from Decatur says, I'm pretty sure it's not China with these drones. That's because I'm sure Biden's already given them anything they want under the table anyway. Well, that's not funny. No. But there it is. John C. from Madison says, we have an administration that is so inept that if drones are flown over Washington, D.C. during the inauguration, nothing will be done. I mean, what can drones carry? Do you think this administration is hoping that a drone would drop a bomb at the inauguration? Listen, all I know is they can. And do we have the capability? We have limited capability on some drone detection. Do we have drone jamming? I would hope so, but I don't know if the drone jamming can take place without having what they call the collateral effect of shutting down other signals that are also needed, like communication signals. Shorty from Anderson again says, "Hey Phil, I apologize about that. I'm doing talk to text as I'm driving. That was supposed to say, 'Hey Colonel.' Okay. 'Hey Colonel' came out as 'Hey girl.' It's two voice text does not help me at all.
It's quite different."
Yeah. Missy from Fontville says, "Maybe the drones are a distraction for this kind of crap." And she shows me, yeah. I got to look back at that then. So, yeah, the big, huge spending bill that came out of the House has got a lot of people up in arms, me included, and we'll probably do a dipper on that later this week. Jim from Athens says, "When I was young, children would double dog dare. No one could turn that down." I don't know what that's – why is he telling me this? Do you know?
Probably double dog daring to shoot the drones or something. I don't know.
That's what it is. Thank you. Good interpretation. Mm. You're in the minds of our ruffians out there. John from Huntsville sends me a celestial drone show. And I, by the way, some of these are very cool. Yeah. Drone shows are amazing.
Well, I mean, that's what this is, according to Whoopi Goldberg. They're preparing for a New Year's drone show nationwide.
Practicing. They're just practicing for the drone show.
Yeah, y'all are ruining the surprise. Stop videoing them.
If you just let things play out.
Yeah, exactly.
Doug from Birmingham says, "When are you guys going to just say it's a bunch of hype? This drone thing is a bunch of hype." Okay, Doug, I'm glad you think that. But it's not all a bunch of hype. Some of it is. But when you've got something the size of a SUV flying over a military installation for 17 straight days, there's a problem. Just saying. Cameron from Decatur says, "I understand in Mobile there have been sightings of leprechauns on drones." Did you ever see the
Oh, yeah. How have I not seen that? Yeah.
Yeah, those who know. But, yeah, little leprechaun. What did the guy say that was so famous that he...
He was commenting on the drawings. "Well, if you can see, he has a round nose." And like, he tried to give the details of the face when it was nothing.
We ought to find that audio. It's worth playing once in a while. And then Bruce from Springville says, "Handling the drones is easy. Have an Army or Marine helo shoot one down, then take it apart, examine the electronics, and identify it." Simple, huh? I would think so. I would. Coming back next with the Grand Council, Jeff Poor, Phil Williams, and Dale Jackson all at one time. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number 3 on Hump Day. And you know the deal? At the beginning of the show, we play the camel, but at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays, we jump into a segment we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren in talk radio, and we just ping each other with questions and see where the chips fall. So let me just call the roll and see if we have a quorum for the council. So from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting out of Huntsville, host of the Dale Jackson Show, production director and all that kind of stuff, also writes for Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you there? You are indeed. Stand at ease. All right, so turning to the south, from FM Talk 106.5 down yonder in Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, he's the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Hey, Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed. Thank you so much. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da. All right, Dale Jackson, you're first. What do you got?
All right, so there's a school in Birmingham where they're going to be providing a grocery store, a free grocery store for children. And in the grocery store, in the stories of the reporting, they're saying that they can get food and take it home and cook it that evening and things like that. Is this a little odd for a school to be doing? And is it wrong for me to think, what's going on inside those homes?
The answer is yes and yes. I mean, I know not of this story. Where is the school and how are they getting the money to do the school?
The city councilman is putting up the money out of his discretionary funds, I guess, something related to COVID, surprise.
Huh.
And they still have some discretionary funds there. And it's in Birmingham, the city of Birmingham. It will be providing this program where they not only they have the free lunch, they have the free breakfast. And that's, again, I don't think many people disagree with that. But now we're like packing backpacks on Friday and sending them home. Yeah. We're saying that the kids can't even the summer. What are they doing over the Christmas holidays? What are they doing when school's out? What are we doing as a whole? Is this really a smart thing for the city and everyone else to get behind? I would say the answer is, well, we should probably try to help these kids, but we should try to find out what's going on inside these homes too, right?
Yeah, because I can tell you what's going to happen. It's going to turn into this thing where or mom writes down the shopping list for the kid, and then the 7-year-old is trying to haul a gallon of milk home in his backpack in the afternoon, and it's not going to work out well. But then the other piece of this is, what are they trading off when they get on the bus? And then, oh, by the way, are they just taking it home so that mom can then sell it to a neighbor for drug money? I mean, it's got
I didn't even think about all of that. Good Lord.
Listen, man, this is a recipe for disaster, not just a recipe for food. It's a recipe for disaster. Jeff, your thoughts?
No, I think there's just too much money in the system, and they had to do something with it. So these nutrition funds, these Department of Agriculture funds, this is what they do with them. And they look for ways to spend money in the government, and this is the latest way. Is it a good program? No, probably not, but they had to think of something to do with it.
So I want to know, are they gonna limit the amount of stuff that kids can get? And then are they going to also limit the ability of the school to do this unless they invoke the transgender ideology like they tried to do with Title IX? You know, no more free and reduced lunch money for the cafeteria at your school unless you're going to let transgenders play in girl sports. That was the thing. This is nuts. Not going to happen. Not going to work.
Well, it's happening, but it may not work. And I just wonder, you know, is there any accountability at home? I know I keep going back to that, but that's what I'm looking for here. Is there going to be any accountability at home for this?
No, probably not. And then I wonder, too, is every student allowed to participate, or do you have to prove that your family has a need? And it's going to be a mess. All right, I'll take the next one. Let's just keep it right here in Alabama on this one. So there's been a lot of talk about Space Command. Trump's coming. We expect good things. There's also been a lot of talk about the FBI. Is it at all possible, conceivable? Do you imagine it happening in all your born days? Could Huntsville get both Space Command and be the headquarters for the FBI? Dale, you're in Huntsville. You first. What do you think?
I think it's possible that the FBI footprint continues to grow. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that we're eventually going to empty out Washington, D.C., and it's going to be just a husk of what it was, and people are going to be working back here in different parts around the country. I don't hate it. I don't hate the idea. I think that's good. I think it would benefit those people who live in that cocoon. I think that's a very good thing. They'd have to come down here and go to the grocery store and school with the rest of us. It might see how the real world works instead of being off in their little cocoons. We have that problem in the state of Alabama as well.
Oh yeah.
But I think that'd be good for them. And I think it'd be great for North Alabama, but I just don't see it. There's centralized governments there for a reason. We may think it's bad or whatever, but I just don't see them unpacking themselves across the country.
So you say Space Command, yes, and more FBI is what you're saying.
Yes, but not a headquarters.
All right, Jeff, what are your thoughts, man?
Yeah, I'm in the same boat, but I could see the FBI headquarters leave at D.C., maybe not to Huntsville. I mean, it's a little top-heavy right now if you have Space Command. They might look around, and there's a lot of members of Congress, Democrat or Republican, who would like to bring something like that to their district, and if it made sense. And I think it's absolutely plausible.
I'll be honest with you. I think it's plausible. I think that right now we already know that the FBI footprint at Redstone is considered FBI headquarters South. They're already calling it that. So if the move is made by DOGE or just by the Trump administration in general to actually move FBI out, what better thing to do than to go to where it already has basing? And it's behind the wire, so it's in a secure location. So I could see it. But I definitely think Space Command's coming. All right, Jeff, what do you got?
Trump just came out against the CR that they're fighting over on Capitol Hill.
That's the end of that.
It's over, right?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't know. This is going to be, I mean, how about that? He's got his first true test of leadership, and he's not even in office yet. I mean.
Well, he's running the country already. I mean, we already know.
Are you kidding?
He's
running the world. What are you talking about? I mean, Trudeau's about to resign in Canada and Germany, and then you got all, I mean, it's crazy. Bankers are bringing $100 billion in to invest in America. It's just like, wow. So the CR, and I'm still getting my head into that. Some of the provisions in there are really whacked. And I'm the apologetics out there for the Speaker of the House pushing that through Congress and sending it up to the Senate in its current configuration is just really maddening. More to come. I think they're going to wind up passing it. I think they usually do. I think the Trump can say things about it, but I think they're going to wind up passing it, Dale.
I think it changes. That's what I think happens. I mean, it doesn't really strike me as, you know, this whole, oh, we have to do it. We had no idea Christmas was coming. What a shocker. It's coming earlier every year. It's just an absolute shock. We have to do this and try to figure out beforehand. I just don't think that excuse works anymore. And I think, you know, if you got to shut down the government because of that, so be it. And if you have to, stay and work longer, so be it too.
And I agree with that. And I look at this and I think, you know, I can remember when I was campaigning for, I think it was my second run in 2014. I was talking about this very thing back then. I mean, that's 10 years ago. They were just doing CRs, and I was pointing out the fact that Alabama balances its budget every year. But in D.C., they can't even pass a real budget. A CR is not a real budget. It's a cheap way of doing your job because you don't want to do your job. This is not a way to run a good government, and I'm really hopeful we can get this thing straightened out. That's my thoughts. Did we just lose them? Are they still there?
I'm still here. We're waiting for you to ask us a question, show host.
That was like just an antithetical result. I mean, like, you guys just went anticlimactic on me. I was like, crickets were chirping in the background. All right, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to call it right there. That's round one of the Grand Council with two underwhelming responses there from Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore.
Wait a minute, I asked a question.
You did, actually. It was your question. I'm sorry. All right, we're taking a break. We'll gather ourselves and come right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, I'm going right back to round two of the Grand Council with Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore, and I believe we start with Dale. Dale, what question do you have?
So the Alabama legislature passed a tax cut, and it worked too well. That's what's happened here, and they're very upset about it, including a good friend of ours, Arthur Orr, not upset about it, but it looks like he's looking at a way to maybe cap it and kind of roll back a little bit. That's going to be viewed as a tax increase no matter what. What happens here? This overtime tax cut worked to the tune of, I think we're looking at roughly $300 million, which is off by seven or more times what they said it was going to be. Complete failure on the budgeting part of this. What do they do?
Well, so, by the way, how great is it, though, that there's more people working overtime? Because apparently the bill did what it was intended. It drove people to work more and to be more productive, and they would get the benefit of a tax-free opportunity if they did that. It's having the exact effect that they said it would.
Senator, that's also what's going on here. They missed the projections on this a matter of 7, 8, 9, 10. It could be even more than that when it's all said and done.
Well, they missed the projections, but the projections are based upon the amount that they're losing because of people who are working overtime. That's my point.
No. They didn't have any idea. This is what they said. This is our best guess. LSA did, but we really don't have no idea. They tried to work with Department of Revenue. We really had no idea how to come up with this number, and they missed it by a lot.
Okay, well, we can differ on where they got the number and how bad they were off. Either way, they were off. But the reality is, how do we get to the point that a Democrat, Anthony Daniels, who sponsored the bill, is the one calling out the Republicans and saying, "Don't cut taxes, or don't basically raise taxes by not following through on your tax cut plan." And so we got a Democrat who's the one now calling out the Republicans who feel like they gave away too much money. That's just a madness right there. We're in the Mad Hatter's Tea Party right now.
Well, I here's a question I have. It feels like Orr's kind of dragging the Republicans along with him here, but I think he's an honorable actor in this.
His
whole like objective is just to protect the ETF at all cost. But the problem is we're not in a place where we're ever going to have proration again, right? Like I think protecting the ETF and the general fund is kind of a thing they needed after 2010. Right now, you need somebody in those or the chairman's role ought to be winding those budgets down the other way because they have grown and grown and grown, especially the ETF is just growing out of control. And instead of having somebody who views it as a sacred cow, it's time to start starving the beast and reducing the tax liability by doing that.
Yeah, and get back to the mentality that the money came from the constituents first, and therefore, if you have too much, you might want to give some back because that means you took too much in the first place.
And by the way, I would also, I think one of the ways we talk about this, I think is wrong just because we say, you know, we took from them and all this other stuff. Here's the reality. It's not their money. Them not getting it doesn't cost them anything. I know we're splitting hairs here and I'm being very pedantic, but I just want to make that clear. There's a lot of talk of that, and we all do it. I do it too. But it, just the truthful statement is it's not their money. They don't get to make that decision, you know, and to say that, oh, we're losing this much money by doing this.
And here's the sad part about that is you're absolutely right, but that's not the way the people we elected and put in office and the people who weren't elected and work in government view it.
You're right.
As soon as you get in line at the grocery store, here comes our money, and you have to break that mentality somehow in Montgomery.
And the only way you do that is just by doing that. I mean, there's no way to talk about it and make it happen. You have to actually do something. And that's why I was so proud last year that even though it was a Democrat, Anthony, he came on my show. He sounded more like a Republican. I had people texting my show saying, are you sure he's a Democrat? And on this issue alone, at the very least, he stood out as a leader. And I cannot see them going into the beginnings of an election cycle next year repealing a tax cut. I just don't think it's going to happen. But I do think what they're going to wind up doing is putting the shiv in us somewhere else because they got to make it up because they don't have enough of their stuff. And that's the maddening, like Jeff said, that's the maddening piece of them believing it's their money in the first place. All right, Dale stole my question. So let me go to one that I knew you wouldn't pick that I've got on my list. So Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson made her Broadway debut this week in what has been depicted as a queer rendition of Romeo and Juliet using she/her pronouns. Should we be concerned, Dale?
Did Jeff have tickets to it, yes or no?
I heard you were taking Grant. That's what I heard.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's not really our style. No, I don't think we should be concerned. She can do whatever she wants, but I mean, let's just be real about it. This is just a benefit of her being in that job. So she gets to live out one of her little dreams. I don't really care too much about it.
Jeff?
Same. It is like the loss leader. We have to have one kook on the bench on the left, and she gets to play that role.
Well, she's playing it, and it's been a continuing opportunity. I mean, she's the one who said she could not identify what a woman was because she's not a biologist. And now she's in a queer rendition of Romeo and Juliet. And I'm thinking, why? Why are you even there? And it was, by the way, it was pretty cringe. I saw a video clip of it, and I'm thinking, you did yourself no favors. But the decorum of the bench, as an attorney, I'll just tell you, the decorum of the bench just felt like it was somehow depleted by the whole thing. But maybe that's just me.
What's your favorite Broadway play?
My favorite Broadway play? I'm still a big fan of Oliver. I saw it years ago. Just saying.
Oliver, well, that's old school. There,
that's old school, dude. That's old school. Jeff, we got about 2 minutes. What question do you have?
Let's get back to the whole discussion about taxation. And like, this may be may have to come back or to be continued, but where do we need to start cutting in state government? Because that's a discussion we never have.
I could start with DOT. I could tell you there's people there that make life miserable. I think we could also go take a look at
I'm not talking about personalities. I mean, I think we underfund our roads in the state, or we don't competitively bid them in the right ways, and we don't use the funding right. But, like, I think the perception between the three of us here is that the Montgomery and the Alabama state government's a bloated bureaucracy.
It is. It absolutely is.
And I think the money's all in the ETF. Where do we start cutting and saying, okay, let's reduce the size of government?
You start with DOT administrative staff, and you start with Department of Education. And I'm talking the department, not the field, not the teachers. I'm talking about the actual department. Those two entities right there have bloated staff that make life more difficult for what needs to happen in the field. You will have a harder time getting a road paved because you have too many bureaucrats that need to have their hand in the mix, jamming in regulations and making sure that every federal something or other is followed twice instead of once. And that's why it takes so long to build a freaking road. Dale?
Well, I think the real way to do this is probably to say, hey, look, we're not going to grow as fast as we've been growing. The idea that they're going to roll anything back, I think, is foolhardy all the way around. So I think that we have to look at possibly just slowing the growth of it and let natural growth take over. As opposed to what we're doing now.
I find that to be such an unsatisfactory answer.
I know it is. It's very unsatisfactory.
But that's not good enough for a Republican supermajority. Look, guys, they could have competitively bid that prison in Elmore County that went up by like $500 million. There's $500 million right there.
Well,
okay.
There's
lots of things they could do to make government not cost as much in Alabama.
Well, if they quit trying to pass gambling bills and medical cannabis, we might have gotten there already. But hey. Who knows? All right, listen, that's it. I'm done. Fellas, appreciate you both. The Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson and just little old me every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, the one I love, it's Alabama, y'all. Alabama. And I mean to say, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. By the way, we're going to have a slight change in our footprint coming up in the near future. So a lot of y'all listen to us out of our Birmingham affiliate, a Crawford Broadcasting Station, 101.1 FM, WXJC out of Birmingham. And that will change January 1st. And I'll tell you straight up, the contract we had with them was due for renegotiation. And after the effort at renegotiation, we decided that the better part of valor here was to go ahead and say, okay, then we're going to just have to part ways. So that being said, we're coming off of 101.1 as of January 1. But here's the thing. You're not going to lose us because you can get us anywhere in the world live at the same time. Still be a part of the show. So all you ruffians out there who are 101.1 listeners, please do me a favor. Check out the other means by which you can hear us until some things happen that might change that. But that being said, what I'm saying is this. We do the show live every day, radio and online streaming. You can get the audio and the video, by the way, online. Like, go to YouTube. Just go to YouTube right now and check it out, and you'll find that you can actually watch in the studio. And what I would encourage you to do is go to YouTube, go to Right Side Media, and if you haven't already done it, it would mean a lot to us, because we're a growing company, if you would click subscribe. If you click subscribe, it makes it easier for you to find us later. There's no charge for it. But what it does for us is, if we get about, 70 to 80 more followers or subscribers on YouTube, YouTube allows us as an upcoming company to be able to do more stuff. We're going to hit 1,000, man. I mean, we picked up 20 more today.
We're at 944 right now.
Sweet.
So we picked up 24 during the show.
Man, go put us to 1,000, y'all. A bunch of ruffians, get out there and click subscribe on YouTube. Anyway, you can follow us online. We're there every day. Don't worry about that. And Jeff Mendiana's on the phone. Jeff Rowe, what are you doing?
I made it through Nashville and skated right through for some reason.
Well, you are...
It's not that bad.
You are flying today. Was everybody already home for the holidays or what?
I wish this thing would fly. I can avoid a lot of traffic. I need some drone power, man.
Wow. Don't be shooting or pointing lasers, because it might be Jeff from Indiana and his air truck. Well, so what do you think about all this stuff today? What's on your mind as we've talked? What about Canada? You got any thoughts on that?
Continuing resolution.
Oh, that, yeah.
When's the last time the United States made a budget?
I don't recall. I mean, I cannot recall when's the last time we actually passed an actual budget.
I mean, they're all charged with that. I mean, that's what their duty is, to, you know, go to Congress and make a budget. You know, that's one of their main functions, supposedly.
That's exactly right. In fact, in the Alabama state legislature, we have an Alabama legislature has to, we have constitutional mandate to pass a balanced budget every year. It's actually the only thing that they're constitutionally required to do. They could go to Montgomery, pass a budget, and go home and do nothing else, and they'd still meet their obligations. Not so much in D.C.
Yeah, I don't, like I say, we're going to have some kind of a balanced budget amendment for the United States, because otherwise, with many trillion dollars we are in debt right now, when do they finally say, oh, well, we're in trouble? You know, when do they, it's like the Wile E. Coyote just walking off the thing here, you know, and everything's fine until it looks down and it's like, oh, no, I've walked off the cliff.
Well, and
I'm afraid that's what's going to happen.
That's exactly what. And they get to turn a blind eye to the true inability to balance a budget by just passing a CR. I mean, it's really a joke if you get down to it. You and I could not run a house or a private way and survive. It wouldn't work. They're allowed to just go ahead and pretend the money's still there and drive on.
Yeah, it's basically basically campaign fraud or almost, I guess, and everything, because that's how they stay in the incumbents stay in. It's like, oh, you know, I'm gonna spend this money and take this stuff to the constituents, but I'm not gonna charge you for it. You know, the piper will come in and he's going to say, you know, you got to pay the piper now, we're not going to have that money.
And you know what else is maddening too is how much stuff they try to stick into those CRs. There's all kinds of. I really wish they would pass what you would refer to as a clean CR. Actually, a clean budget would be nice. But if they're going to pass a CR, at least quit putting pork and other provisions that don't relate to budgeting. I mean, everybody tries to get their little piece in there. It's not germane to the bill. But they do it anyway, and it was 1,500 pages this time, 1,500 pages,
yeah.
And the Senate got it like 24 hours in advance.
Yeah, how do they do that? I mean, if we're doing a continual resolution on a budget, it's supposed to be we're just making the budget, the same budget, and extending it. So how do you get this extra pork into these budgets if you don't change the budget?
Yeah, you would think so, but still, they find new things to stick in there. It's like a budget, but it's not. And it's just, it's madness. And they sooner or later, someone's got to pay the piper. And I'm afraid it's going to be the taxpayer that does. Anyway, Jeff Rowe, all be right. Safe, man. I'm glad you're already through the beast. And be careful on the rest of the way, all right?
I spoke too soon.
Oh, no. It just slowed down on him. All right. See you, man. Take care.
Have a good one. See you, bud.
JT Lacey Springs has texted in. He says, drones. I think Atlantis is going to rise, so they're searching for a new location, to which they'll abandon once D.C. is surveyed. Holy cow. Tim from Hoover says, thanks to Bob Riley, property is reappraised too often. You know what? You can say Bob Riley, but he couldn't do it without the legislature, and I don't know that it's all him, to be honest with you. Michael from Madison is texting in and says, every time Phil says it, I think, and what's he got? Alabama. He's got a picture of, that's cool, of Forrest Gump. I got a call on there. All right, let me grab that real quick. Is that Cletus? All right, Cletus from Huntsville. How you doing?
Hey, man, it's Clarence.
Hey, Clarence, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, just hanging out. I just thought I'd call and talk on that CR and give you a little insight what I thought.
All right, give it to me straight. What do you got?
The first part about it, Congress is no longer a functioning, viable unit. The fact that Mitch McConnell can have a secret ballot goes against everything that the Congress should be. There should never be hidden from American people who their elected officials voted for. It shouldn't even be an option.
I do not disagree, but everything about D.C. appears to be broken right now. That's why I'm wondering if the Doge thing is really going to work. What do you think?
I do not think it's going to work, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I don't think you're ever going to see a balanced budget, because a balanced budget don't have nowhere in it for kickbacks to come back to congressmen. And now, let's be honest, that's on both sides. But I don't think that Doge is ever going to happen, because Doge isn't really a federal It's not a federal office. There's nothing really true about it. So they can only make recommendations, but you still would need Congress to go and pass it. A president cannot just use executive order to get rid of a whole organization. It's not possible.
Yeah, I agree. I think what they're looking at here is Doge is going to be identifying things, but I guarantee you they're going to be identifying things that Congress may have already authorized the executive branch to do, at which point he could do it with a pen. But I don't know. It's gonna be crazy to watch. But here's the deal, they'd better do something, because there's a lot of talk right now, and it's gonna suck the air right out of the Trump administration if they don't start doing it.
But let me tell you what I honestly think. The only option we have at this point is, and it goes back to what you're talking about with the CR having 1,500 pages on it, right?
Right.
Most states have line item veto. Okay, and that is to keep pork barrels spinning from happening. At this point, I'm not so sure if the state shouldn't be having to fund themselves and taxpayer, federal taxpayer dollars is not paid into the federal government from a collection from the state, and that in itself is only meant to go and pay for infrastructure, effective and useful government organizations, and your military for our protection. Besides that, if a state needs something to be paid for, they need to learn how to balance their own stinking budget instead of the other taxpayers in the world having to balance the budget. There's no reason why Alabama money should be going to California.
I don't disagree with that at all. And I tell you what's going to wind up happening, though. States have gotten so dependent on federal funding, and some of them in an embarrassing level, that if they lost their federal funding, they would be filing bankruptcy at the state level. You watch.
Well, that's fine. Let them file bankruptcy at the state level, and then, you know, there's no different. And if I go and file bankruptcy, what do I have to do? Well, there's a list of things that I have to do to be able to come out of bankruptcy in 7 years, and I got to prove my effectiveness to be able to do that. Why should the state not have to?
You sound like you've been there, brother.
Well, I ain't been there. I've been close. It's called the last 4 years.
I'm saying. Clarence, appreciate you, man. Good call as always. Call back more often.
Have a good one.
See you, buddy. I'd like to know more about Clarence. I'm just saying. I'd like to know more about Clarence.
I'd like to know his background, yeah.
I just heard some things in that phone call right there that tell me, okay, all right, who am I talking to? Mm-hmm. That was actually Tommy Tuberville just called himself Clarence, wasn't it? Mark from Tony, Alabama says, he's Mark from Tony, and it's Cheney for Gitmo. just treat her like a terrorist, send her down to Gitmo. Frank from Huntsville checks in. He says, I found out today that you can tell Alexa to tune in to 92.5 and listen to your show. That's awesome. You know what? I said that to a friend who does that at her home, and I said, just tell it to go to the other one. But here's the other thing. I bet you can also tell it to go to Right Side Media on YouTube and listen to it live, or go to rightsidemedia.org and listen to it live. That's Frank. You are spot on, brother. Thank you so much. John from Huntsville says Right Side Radio is now up to 944 YouTube subscribers. John, thank you very much. We're getting there. Brand new texter in the line. Glad to have you. Kenan from Huntsville. He lives on Green Mountain, that area. I know that area quite well. Kenan,
too.
We're glad you're there. He also said cut certificate of needs bribe board. Oh, man. Listen, that's wow. Yes. But that's, you know what? You can't do away with the board until you do away with the certificate of need itself. That's one of the biggest hindrances to actually having good medical care for people in the state. Flip from is also a violation of the free market. It just absolutely is. Flip from Priceville says, is Alabama able to afford Elon Musk for a doge on DOE, DOT, and ETA? LOL. You know what? There's talk right now that the Alabama Policy Institute is helping form a Alabama Doge.
I was going to bring that up. I saw 1819 did a story on that. I think Stephanie Smith maybe briefly talked about it, maybe not the Alabama level during her interview earlier this week, but I think that would be much needed in the state.
You got to have a governor who cares. Right now, I would bet you if they said, we have an Alabama Doge, it's filled with real people who do real things. Governor, can we talk to you? Kay Ivey would be busy.
Yeah.
She wouldn't even hear it.
But that's why, you know, there's a certain senator that his name's been floating around for a potential governor run. I think he would be all over it. I know he's probably going to – or he's going to enjoy his time in D.C. with Trump in office. But, I think that said senator or current sitting senator may be all over that if he runs.
I think he's probably a top contender.
Yeah.
And I think he would be the one most likely to say, give me a doge.
Yeah.
A dose of doge.
Well, which, by the way, I want to mention this before, since we were on the topic of the CR bill, but Elon has tweeted, ever since he tweeted he will be funding primaries against people who are for the CR bill, it looks like he's effectively killed the bill. Reportedly, I don't know if they've voted on it yet, but it looks like it's
that'd
been
be
squashed.
Huge.
Yeah.
Well, that would be huge.
And if that's so, I mean, having Elon on our side is... That's a big deal if he's able to do that, you know, if he's able to kill the status quo like that.
You know, people say that he's the George Soros on the right. Yeah. I would differ with that because George Soros likes to hide in the shadows and pretend he's really not there when he is, whereas Elon Musk just sends out a tweet and makes it happen.
I guarantee you any people who were for this got terrified being primaried, and now looks like the bill – I like I said, I don't think it's been voted on yet, but I think reports are saying it's pretty much been killed.
Here's the thing. If you do what you do because you're worried about your next election, you will never do it right.
Exactly.
You will always be looking out for yourself and not your constituents. Mm-hmm. I've seen more people literally make their decisions based upon, well, they know the next election, they might come after me. And I, so freaking what? Do you think it's right or don't you? That's what you're here for. Mm-hmm. Make a decision. That's why there were times when I just butted heads in Montgomery. but I had great – I mean, we got great stuff done, too, at the same time. When I first got elected in 2010, that's what the crew wanted to do. Get it done and get out. And a third of the legislature did about 8 years, and we all got out.
How about voting on your constituents and what they've told – I mean, exactly. They've given them the mandate of they want change, but they just keep going along with the status quo.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay. Brad from Limestone County says, he sends me a YouTube link, which I can't look at right now. And yes, I know. Thank you very much. You give me the, I got to go to a break. I see it. Okay. All right. Got to go to a break. We're taking a break right now. We'll come right back, clean up a few text messages. I may play you a clip from Josh Hawley grilling the NCAA president if we have time. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, dropping truth bombs is what we're doing. Dropping truth bombs. And by the way, you guys are awesome. We just, like, spiked on YouTube. We may hit 1,000 by the end of the week at this point. We just jumped. Like, after the last time I said something about it, we went and jumped, like, 20 more, right?
21 subscribers after we said that, yep.
Golly, bomb. What an amazing audience. What a great group. All right, John from Huntsville has the grades in. Let us see where we fare. Jeff Mindiana, he says, gets an A-plus for his awesome phone call. Means today's winners are Chef Ben, Phil, and JP with perfect A-triple pluses. Chef Ben, you're tied for first.
Chef Ben deserves a quadruple A-plus.
He absolutely does. Are you having Chef Ben leftovers tonight?
I am, yeah.
I'm having Chef Ben leftovers tonight.
Of course, yeah.
Are you kidding, man?
I got to have more of that chicken and what were the green beans? I can't remember what they're called.
Something verts. Some Hobart verts or something.
Fancy green beans.
Give me some of them fancy green beans what we got. He says, congratulations, by the way, JP, I'm sticking with James Madison. So there you go, just so you know. And by the way, he wants to know what you think about UNLV.
UNLV will win. There you go.
What's UNLV? They're a basketball school.
Yeah, they are. They just signed Dan Mullen from Florida, though, to be their coach. So let's see if they can get it revived. Yeah.
Dan Mullen.
Mm-hmm. He was an analyst for, like 4 years, but he's back in the game now. So there you go.
Okay. Wow. Sounds like we got an episode of JP on sports brewing.
Yep, we do.
That and you got the full skinny last night on Jacksonville State losing their coach. And
yep. That's unfortunately, they're facing everybody leaving now. So that's how it is now.
Hey, by the way, tomorrow I expect that Lee from Huntsville is going to be in studio with us. So that's going to be a hoot. We got Lee from Huntsville. We'll have an episode of Butters and Lee with Lee from Huntsville live in La Studio, right here in the Right Side Studios. And we got plenty more going. I mean, as we move towards the Christmas vacation, just know this. I really do believe Jesus is the reason for the season. And that being said, you guys are also the reason why we come on the air. So thank you for what you do for this show. Thank you for helping us grow as a business. We're going to keep doing what we're doing every single day. We're going to get on the air and we're going to do all that we can to do the mission and the message every single day. The mission is that we educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to be a conservative in today's crazy world. But y'all, I'm just telling you, the mission is driven by the message. And on this show, I want you to know, you're going to hear me say, Jesus is Lord, America's great, Alabama's beautiful, and life is worth living. And that, my friends, is the Ruffian Creed. So, did I just coin a new phrase? The Ruffian Creed.
The Ruffian Creed.
I may have a thing now. We put that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
The Ruffian Creed. We got to give away t-shirts sometimes.
Yeah, we do.
All right. We'll be doing that too. All right. Lots and lots. Lots and lots. But don't forget, I say it every time, but it's true. There are more of us than there are them. God is still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.